So we're on Daf Lamed Vav tonight. So I'll begin on the top line on Lamed Vav Rala. So the Gemara says Nistak Nikev. So the Gemara here is referring to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if the eskrog is Nistak, it's cracked, or it's Nikev Achaser Kolshu, it's a hole in it and it's missing any amount of its substance. So it's pasul. So we're on the top line. Okay. So it says Nistak. Nikev. So Tani Ulabar Chinina. So Ulabar Chinina taught the following brisa. Now this brisa is really going on the later line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says this is like five lines from the bottom in the Mishnah on Lamed Dalet and Lamed Beis. It says Nikev Lo Chaser Kol Shu Kasher. That if there's a hole in it, but it's not missing any substance, it's Kasher. So Tani Ulabar Chinina. That's the way the Bach has it. Nikev Nekemufulash B'Mashahu. So he says. In other words, despite what the Mishnah says that Nikei Velo Chaser is kosher, but it's not in every case. So if it goes from one end to the other end, if there's a hole straight through the esrog from one end to the other end, even if nothing is missing from the esrog, it's pasol. And if it doesn't go from end to end, but the hole is the size of an isar is a coin, then again, it's also pasol. So it means that when our Mishnah said that it was, when the Mishnah said that it was, Nikev Kol Shehu, and it's kosher. So that's talking about less than the size of an isar and Einam Afulach. There was a small hole when it doesn't go from one end to the other end. That's what the Mishnah meant. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. So again, okay, all right, let's again. So the Mishnah says that if it's Nikev Kol Shehu and Einam Chaser, it's kosher. And there was, if it's a small hole and it's not missing any substance, it's kosher. Yeah. In other words, let's say I stick a pin in the esrog and then I pull the pin out. So everything is still there. There's just a hole there. That's what it means. Okay. So he says, but that's only if it doesn't go from one end to the other. If I stick the needle and goes all the way through the esrog, then you're dead in the water. In addition to which, if I make a hole, but it's a big hole, then it's also possible. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. The size of an Isar, yeah. Okay, we'll see in a minute. Now, we'll show that you must be in the picture book you must have something, no? Or my picture book you have. Okay, on the third line, I'll pause in a few lines, okay? So Rava poses the following question. Noldu be'etrik simanei treifa mahu. What if you have simanei treifa? Treifa, we know there are 18 treifa, 18 physical defects in the animal, which the Rambam breaks down to 70 that cause the animal to be trefa, trefa, you can't eat it. So no duba etrog simanei trefa ma. What if they have these simanim in the estrog? So the Gemara makes a sort of tsushtel between an estrog and an animal. Just like you have physical defects in the animal that result in the animal being a trefa, so too you could have physical defects in the estrog, meaning it's pasul. That's the way this ma'alach on the Gemara goes. So by Rava, no duba etrog simanei trefa ma. What if there is simanim in the etrog that would be analogous to the simanim of trefus in an animal? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, "Mine come by a lay." What was he bothered with? What's Rava's question? He niklaf tanina. So if he's asking about niklaf, niklaf is when the esrog is peeled. So we did this last night. So niklaf would be the equivalent, the halachic equivalent of gluta. Gluta is when the animal is missing its hide, and that's niklaf. So that we learned already that we had in the Mishnah that niklaf is pasul. That we learned. And then we had a machloket. Is it pasul when it's all or when it's part? And there was a machloket. We've shown him about that, but we went through it yesterday. E nistak tanina. If it's nistak is the esrog is cracked open. So there's the equivalent by trephus would be, let's say, the trachea. Let's say there's a crack that goes lengthwise down the trachea from one end of the trachea to the other end of the trachea. So that's a trepha. So nistak by the esrog, in nistak tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah as well, that nistak is pasul. We got that as well. In nikev, if he's focusing on nikev, and it's equivalent to nikev prumo shamoach, if there's a puncture in the membrane of the brain, that's a trefa, but nikev we just did as well in the Mishnah, tanina. So what's he asking? So what Rav is asking, no du betru simenei trefa mahu, but we have three ledinim set forth already in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, ki kamabayalei ki de ula amar of Yochanan. So Rava was asking a question similar to what Ula bar the Ula said in the name of Yochanan, meaning Ula said in the name of Yochanan, Reish Nishbakat Kiton Ksheira. if I have the lung of an animal that it, I could pour it out like a container of water, the animal's still kosher, meaning I check the animal and then I like puncture the lungs and then I pour it out and there's like fluid coming out from all the lungs. It's kshera. But Amar Rava, Rava says concerning that halach, so that was said by Ulanei Rabbi Yochanan. And Rava said concerning that, who dekaima simponaha, provided that the bronchi are still intact. In other words, you have, you know, lungs, you have, you know, the bronchial tubes, and you have alveoli, and then you have like this fleshy substance. So if the bronchi are still around, even though everything else is fluid, it's still kosher. So halau kaimi simpona trefa. If the simpons aren't there, it's trefa. So hachamai, what would be the case here? Meaning, with respect to the esrog, you have the container with the seeds, and that Gemara figures is like the simpons. In other words, in the esrog, you have a cavity where the seeds are held, like a chamber where the seeds are, and then you have the fleshy material around it. So let's say the fleshy material has turned to like, you know, I don't know, like liquidy. So would the esrog nevertheless still be kosher? So he says, hachamai. So the Gemara says, Dilma hatamhud lo shalat ba'avira. Perhaps hadrabarya. Perhaps you could say the two are not analogous. Perhaps we could say that with respect to lungs, the lungs are encased in the body, so then it's not in any way exposed to the air, so that it could kind of recuperate from this illness it has. But here with the estrog, which is exposed to the air, it'll continue to decay, perhaps. Or perhaps there's no difference between the two. Okay, let me just pause for 1 second, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and close. We're just in the middle of the sugya, but let's just digest what we have. So the Gemara has established that there is some connection between trephus of the animal and the defects in the estrog. That's the first you saw. Everybody got that? So there's... That's what the Gemara
How
says.
Did it establish that?
Okay, give me 2 seconds, and then we'll take everybody's questions. Got an eager group here out to kill. Okay, so the Gemara takes it that there's an analogy between those two. So given that analogy, the Gemara said, you see that by Nikev, so Nikev is a trefa, Nikev Krum Shomoach, so too with Nikev the Esrog, also it's a psul. Then we saw also niklaf. If the peel is taken off the estrog and if the hide is taken off the animal, it's also a trefa. And nistak, if there's a crack down the trachea, that's a trefa. And if the crack in the estrog, also it's a trefa, or it's a pasul. So assuming that you saw it to be the case, and we'll come to your questions in a minute. Assuming that to be true, so the Gemara says, what about with the lung? So the Gemara quotes a halacha that Ulla said to Rabbi Yochanan, that if the animal's lungs can be poured out like a ketone shamayim, it's still a kosher animal, provided that the bronchi are still intact. So the Gemara figures, if the analogy holds true, let's say I have an estrog, the estrog has a chamber where the seeds are. That's like the bronchi. That's like and perhaps the fleshy part has deteriorated and is liquidy, but that part is still there. So do I say that that's still a kosher estrog? Or do I say the two are different? Do I say that perhaps when the animal recuperate from such an illness, because like the lungs are encased in the body, and here the estrog is more exposed to the air? That's odd kind of what we did so far. So I don't know where the Gemara has this knows this from, that this analogy between the trapus and the estrog. The Gemara says it. It seems to me like it seems like conceptually that's where the Gemara takes it. One person said to me today in the base medrash, he thought it could possibly just be like in a way to remember the halakhot, that it lines up and they're like reminding themselves that way. But it seems to me from the Gemara that there's more to it, that there's more a deeper connection between the two. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, so let me go further. All right, now that's in the middle of the sugya. So we're trying to find out what the din is with this liquidy estrog. So we're around 10 lines down on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So Tashma, so the Gemara brings proof from the following brisa. It says, etrog tafuach saruach, an etrog that's decayed or rotten. And those are two different cases, and we'll clarify. Kavu shaluk, if it's pickled or it's shaluk, it's been boiled. Rashi says boiled very well. Hushi, it's an Ethiopian estrog, which we said is also black. Lavan, a white estrog. Umanumar, speckled, is pasul. Etrog kikadur pasul. An etrog is shaped like a ball, it's pasul. it's something to look for. You know, when you buy an escrow, you don't want it to look like a long, longer and have bumps and everything like that. Sometimes you see like an escrow that looks like a ball. Here the price says escrow looks like a kadurish basul. He said, I don't know what the halacha is, but the price says that way. Some say even like the Siamese twin type esrog, and there's a question like, what does it look like exactly? You have your picture books, but it's like it looks like in like Siamese twins, only with two esrogim. So he says, etrog haboser. Etrog haboser. Boser refers to a certain stage of development of the grape. In other words, the grape is very young, is boser. So the question is the Torah thing about the size of the esrog? So Rashi takes it the size. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he says, Haboser katan kipula lavan. It's small like the white bean, is what Rashi says. So from Rashi, it sounds like Rashi's going on the size. But if you say that mahalach, then that would be a third shita, because we learned one shita says the minimum size an egg goes. Another minimum shear is a beta. This would be a third shear. Others want to say that Boser refers to a state of development. It was a grape developed slowly. So it's like a very young grape. It's a boser. So it's a very, like, if the etrog is not so well developed, then it's not good. A boser, Rabbi Akiva posel, the chachamim achshu. So that's my cloak between Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim. Didlo bitfus, ba'asa okimin birya acheret pasol. If you raise the etrog, in other words, while it's on the plant, you enclose it in a type of mold, and then the etrog grows into the shape of the mold, and it looks like a different birya, it looks like some other creature or creation. He says, that's pasul. Okay, that's the brisa. And you might got to get the picture books out. Okay, it looks like Fern's got her picture book out. Let's get the picture books out, and we'll see.
Page 133.
All right.
Birya is
hysterical. Okay, so in the picture books, if you look, so first we have nice round escrow in the upper right-hand corner on page 133. It looks like a ball. Then we have this is, he's got two versions of what the one that's Tiomet. The one picture, it's got two pitums and two uktin. The other picture has got one oketz and two pitums. And then for the gidlo bitfus, he created his own like shape for it, but looks like an unusual looking esrog there. Okay. So those are the pictures that we have. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. So our issue is about the esrog that decays and is like watery inside, but it still has that cavity with the seeds. Is that a kosher esrog? So the Gemara says, "Ketani miha tafuach saruach." So at the end of the day, the ones we want to focus on are tafuach saruach, the rotten and decaying esrog. So this is my love, is it not? Tafuach mibachutz. Tafuach refers to a rot on the outside, on the surface of the esrog, with saruach mibachim. And saruach is like decaying on the inside. So if that's the case, so it would come out that the esrog that's decayed on the inside is pasul. So that would answer our question. Then it wouldn't completely match up with what the animals would be. That would be the way it would go. So the Gemara rejects the proof. It says, lo, even mibachutz. No, both tafuach and saruach are talking about problems that are on the outside of the esrog and have no bearing on our question. The lo kasha is no contradiction between what's tafuach and what's saruach. Had the tafach afal gablo sarach. Tafach, even though it didn't decay. So this Rashi is tupshatim. Either tafach means it's sort of like water fell on and it got bloated, and then sarach means decayed. So then there was, so one means it got bloated, or the other means it got decayed. That would be tafach sarach, but both on the outside of the esrog. Or tafach means it got decayed, and sarach means it got wormy. So it got decayed and wormy, but it's all on the outside. Had the sarach afak lo tafach. So mamela, we don't have any proof about the lung or anything like that, and maybe the Gemara doesn't resolve that issue. Okay, that's the end of that piece. All right, everybody good? All right, let me go on. Now, we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So Amar Mar, so earlier we quoted in the Braisa, Etrog Kushi Pasul, that the Ethiopian Esrog is Pasul. We learned that in the Mishnah as well. The Mishnah we learned that Etrog Kushi was Pasul. Rashi learned Kushi, Shabami Eretz Kush, V'Shachorhu. It comes from the land of Kush. Usually we say Ethiopia. If you remember, we've discussed there's another Kush that's near India, like the Hindu Kush. And so that'll come into play now a little bit. But it's a black esrog. That's what we take. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya Kushi Kasher. But in the Braisa, we learn that Etro Kushi is Kasher. Domila Kushi Pasul. If it's similar to the Kushi, It's pasul. That's what the Braisa says. So the okay, so let's take a look. So how do we reconcile this? So one statement from our Mishnah and from one Braisa is that etrog hakushi is pasul. The statement from the last Braisa is etrog kushi is kasher. We have to resolve that. And we have to explain more about domen lekushi is pasul. So domen lekushi, it seems like from Rashi, he takes it that it's like a mutant. If you look at the first white line in Rashi, Rashinidmehu, it's like a mutant. In other words, it's growing here, like all our estrogim are gold, and this one grows up to be black, you know, or darker. So that's a mutant. That's definitely pasul. So, but meanwhile, though, we have to reconcile the two statements, one that it's kasher and one that's pasul. So Amar Abaye, hitran nami manitin, domen lekushi tanan. So Abaye says, look, our Mishnah, when it said that kushi is pasul, it really meant domen lekushi. So even though it said kushi pasul, it really means domen lekushi, in which case I have no contradiction. So everybody agrees domen lekushi is pasul, kushi is kasher. It was kushi is a bona fide variety of it. The domen lekushi is like, you know, it's like growing around like with our things, and then that's not the real McCoy. That would be one way. Then Rava Amar lo kasher. Rava says there's no contradiction between one Braisa and our Mishnah that says that kushi is pasul, and the other Braisa says that kushi is kasher, halan bahalahu. It depends whether you're talking about we in Bnei Babel or there in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi explains in the second white line of Rashi, halan bahalahu, the olam manitin kushi nami pasul. The Mishnah says kushi is pasul, the lokasha manitin bnei Eretz Yisrael. That's for the people in Israel. Shirachokin me Eretz Kush. They're far away from the land of Kush. Veinam regilim by him. They're not used to those estrogim. And I'll explain in a minute. He says, Brita lebnei Babel. Brita is for the people in Babel. Shikrovim la Kush. They're closer to Kush. Regilim by him. And they're more accustomed to it. When we come makom, begadil kan, bedomen lekushi. But if it grows here and it looks like the Kushi, nidmehu pasol. So first, in terms of where's Kush. So he, Rashi, identifies that Kush is closer to Babel and to Eretz Israel. Now, Ethiopia, if you look on the map or the globe, it's closer to Israel than Babel. So someone is saying that it took some in terms of transportation, that in terms of the waterways, it's easier to get to Kush from Babel because you just go down the waterway and you get there. But if you say that Kush is the area in India, then all questions are resolved. Kush, if you don't say it's Ethiopia, if I say it's the Hindu Kush in India, then Babel is closer to the Kush as opposed to Eretz Israel. Now, in terms of what about for Babel and what about Eretz Israel? So one mahalak you could say, which I saw in the Masifta Gemara today, is from the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach wants to say that what's Hadar is not objective. Hadar depends to some extent on the community. So for Bnei Babel, they're used to seeing these Kushi Esrogim. So for them, that's a Hadar. That's a beautiful Esrog. Bnei Eretz Yisrael are not used to those, so they view it as like being inferior. But Domilakushi is this mutant one, that definitely is not good. That's one way to explain this Gemara. Now, other Mefarshim explain the sugya differently. They want to say like this, that when it says Kushi, it means it has a tinge of darkness. Domilakushi, it's totally black. And that's what they want to say. So the Gemara is saying that for Bnei Babel, that They the Kushi, which is like a slight dark tinge to it, you could say again, they're used to those estrogim, so that's kosher. And Eretz Yisrael, they're not used to them. But Domen Lekushi in this Malak, if it's totally black, is not kosher. That would be the way that would go. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? And one more pshat I saw. This is from Likutei Chaver Ben Chaim. He says a different Malak. He says that the Kushi one we said was kosher for Bnei Babel and not for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Yosef, you still with me? Yeah. So he wants to say like this, that Bnei Babel, they'll be adept at being mechalek between the Kushi and the Dome of the Kushi. The Dome of the Kushi is one that's not good, and the Kushi is good. But Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who are not used to the Kushi ones, They'll get confused between the Kushi and the Dome of the Kushi. So really, Kushi, this is a different mala. Kushi is really kosher all over the place. But in Eretz Israel, they're not used to it, so we're afraid they'll get involved with it, and then they'll come to do the Dome of the Kushi one. Okay, Who's got questions, comments? I see the look at Fern. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, I'm going to go on. Everybody good? Okay, let's see further. Now let's see back on the Gemara. So now we said in the Braisa before, etrog haboser, if it's etrog haboser, we said it's either a very small etrog or one that's like, you know, in early development, Rabbi Akiva posel b'chachamim machirim. Rabbi Akiva apostles it, and the chachamim machir it. I'm a Rabba. Rabba says, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, damru gabar achad. Rabba says, Rabbi Akiva, who says that the boser etrog is really not a pri. In other words, dur bi pri et sadar, it has to be bigger than a boser or more developed than a boser. So it's not a pri at that point in time. So Rabbi Akiva and the Tana Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, they both are the same thing. Rabbi Akiva had the Amran, Rabbi Akiva we just did, that we got, says Rabbi Shimon Mahi. What's Rabbi Shimon? Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, the Masechet Maasrot, Rabbi Shimon poter etrogim bekotnan. So it's talking about if you're harvesting etrogim from an etrog tree, so Rabbi Shimon says that they're patra from Maasrot when they're very small. So we think right now, and the Chachamim disagree with them. The Chachamim say that if it's edible, then it's chayav in Maasrot. So we think right now that Rabbi Shimon holds that the small etrog is not a pri, so it's not chayav in Maaser. And it seems like Rabbi Akiva, who says that the small etrog is not a kosher etrog. So Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye says to Rabba, who was his Rebbe, Vilma Lohu, maybe the two are not comparable. He says, Adkan will come in Rabbi Akiva Hafa, the Bein and the Hadar Balecha. Perhaps over here, Rabbi Akiva said that the Boser Etrog is not Hadar, it's not beautiful, so that's why it fails. About Hatam, Krabatan Sphirli, but perhaps when it comes to the Skiv and Maestro, he holds like the Chachamim. If it's edible, it's Chayv and Maestro. Inami, when the alternative, Adkan will come in Rabbi Shimon Hatam, perhaps Rabbi Shimon says by Maestro, it's not Chayv and Maestro, El the Thiba Ser Tasiri quotes Vadzarecha. The Pasuk says, we just had this in last week's Parsha of Shavuot and Ray, Aser Taser, Kol Tvuat Zarecha, Tvigamaser, Kol Tvuat Zarecha, the crop from your seeds, Tiderach Shabbatina Motzim Lazria, meaning that when you harvest it, it has to be Ra'ui to have seeds that you'll replant it. That's what it means. So he says, so there he holds, if it's small Boser, it's not at that point. So it's not Ru'i, it's not Chayiv and Maser. About Hachat, Rabbanan Spirit Lake, but perhaps Rav Shimon could agree with the Chacham here that it is a kosher etrog and turn page with two low median. There's nothing more to say about that, but the two are not necessarily comparable. All right? All right, let me see what my, I have a sheet about one of these things here. Let me get down. Okay, it's coming up. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? All right, let's move on. So we're on Lamed Babam Bey's, the top line. So we said, Gidlo b'tefus, if you raise the etrog in a tefus in a form, in other words, the etrog is growing on the tree, and then I put a form around it, so it grows into that form, and it's shaped like that form. So Gidlo b'tefus v'asa'o k'mon birya cheret. If you cause it to grow in this form, and it looks like a birya cheret, like a different creature, so it's pasul. So Amarava, lo shanu l'kmin birya cheret. That's only like another birya. In other words, it doesn't look like an etrog. In other words, it doesn't look like an etrog afterwards. Aval kibriyato kasher. But if you're done with the form, it grows into the form, but at the end of the form, it still looks like an etrog, it's kasher. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Kimin birya cheret, tanya. Because the Braisa says it has to look like a birya cheret in order to be pasul. So it doesn't look like a birya cheret, okay. So the Gemara says, lo nitzricha davida dape dape. The Rabbah's statement was necessary where I caused the etrog to be look like it's filled with planks. Means like it looks like a water wheel. It's got like all these like little veins going through it. You know, V-A-N-E-S. You know, like it has, you know, all these little surfaces. So it looks somewhat like an etrog because an etrog has ridges and it's round and things like that. But it's not like the typical etrog. Let me see. Does the picture book have one like that? So this picture book doesn't have, but the Perish Chai's got. Yeah. Oh, which has got it? Okay, the Perish Chai. Okay, so we'll see this. We have all the pictures here. Okay, that looks very nice. Okay, here, I'll show it up to the people in the cyber world. Okay, here's cyber world. You can see that this is from the Masechta Gemara, courtesy of Yosef Achmani. Okay. And then,
so that one would be okay?
That would be okay. And then let me see if I can... And here I have a similar picture in the Perish Chai. Here's one up here, and then one down here. Same idea. The okay, so that's good. Okay, any questions? Okay, whatever. All right. All right. I said planks. Okay, but let's take it back on the Gemara. All right. Now, okay, we're on the fifth line. So Itmar, it was stated, Etrog shenakvu achbarim. Let's say I have an Etrog that the achbarim nibbled at the Esrog. So the Gemara says, Amarav ein zahador. So Rav says that Etrog is on Hador, not beautiful anymore, meaning the Chora that I can't use it. Ini, is this true? For Reb Chanina, makbil bav an afikba. But Reb Chanina would like dip his Etrog in a dip and then nash on it and then miyotze in the midst of Esrog with it. Now, we're going to deal with a lot of questions on this, how he could do that, because an Esrog is normally muksa la mitzvah toh. In other words, it's muksa la mitzvah, so I can't derive any benefit from the Esrog when it doesn't, it is the mitzvah. So we'll talk about that shortly. But let's just focus on the sugi right now. So so he says, so here he's telling me the achbarim nibble on it. It's not hadar. He can't be yotzei with it. Reb Chanina would nibble on his Esrog, be yotzei with it. So the Gemara says, Reb Chanina kasha matnitin. But according to Reb Chanina, what does Reb Chanina do with our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, chaser kolshu is pasol. If the Etrog is missing any substance, it's pasol. And if you're nibbling on it, it definitely is chaser. So the Gemara says, bishleima manitin l'Reb Chanina kasha. The Gemara says, look, the Mishnah is really reconcilable with Reb Chanina. Kan biyom tov rishon, kan biyom tov sheni. I could say, in terms of chaser, that chaser is only psul on day one. Reb Chanina, who was nashi on the Esrog, was after day one. So in other words, or after Yantav, let's say in Chol HaMoed. So chaser is kosher during Chol HaMoed, the last days of Pesach. So that I can deal with. El Rav kasha, but according to Rav, Rav said that nakbu achbarim, the achbarim nashed on it, it's not hadar. So hadar, it's somewhat of machloket, but we assume that hadar pertains throughout the wall sukkahs. So Rav says that the achbarim nashed on it, it's not hadar. So that's dead in the water for the wall sukkahs. But Reb Chanina nashed on it, and it's chaser, but Reb Chanina could deal with the Mishnah. But how does Rav, right? So the Gemara says, Amarlak Rav, Rav would say to you, in other words, how is Rav going to explain Reb Chanina's conduct? Rav doesn't want to be full of Reb Chanina, he's the Tana. So we don't want to, in a tight situation, we say Rav Tana Upali. But Rav has got to find a way to explain, to justify Reb Chanina's conduct, and yet still maintain that if the Abarim nash on it, it's not good. So how do I do that? So the Gemara says, Rav Kasha, Amalak Rav, Rav would say to you, Shani Achbarim to Me'isi. So Rav would say that there's a difference who's doing the nashing. If mice eat on it, that's detestable. That's not Hadar anymore. If a human nashes on it, it's still Hadar. It's still beautiful, but it's Chaser. But Chaser is good during the other days of Sukkot. Let me do a few more lines, then I'll say some words, and then we'll comment. So Ikeda Amri, others say like this, Amarav Zeh Hadar. Rav said that the Esrog that the achbarim ate from is hadar, is beautiful. The harub chanina mapibav an apikba, because Reb Chanina dipped his esrog in a dip and nashed on it, and so they both hold as hadar. So the Gemara says Reb Chanina kasha manitin, but according to Reb Chanina, is the Mishnah difficult? The Mishnah says that esrog chaser is pasul. Lo kasha kam biyom tov rishon kam biyom tov sheni. So the Mishnah is talking about on yom tov rishon on the first day of Sukkot, but afterwards it's kosher. Okay, let me do a little bit of this doc digest. Then I'll talk some pieces. Then I'll open up the floor. So Lefora, I think there would be a mitzvah on the second day of Yom Tov, right? And when the Gemara says Yom Tov Sheni, it really...
The third day?
Right, that's right. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Right. What? There's no... I mean, if you could have Hidur, that's always preferable. But Mitzad Adin, there's no requirement that the Minim be in a state of Hadar after the first day, or in Kutlaris, after the first 2 days of Yantiv. Okay, now, the Gemara relates with Reb Chanina. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. So the commentators ask several questions regarding the incident about Reb Chanina. A, the Gemara on Lamed Chet indicates that it's forbidden to eat a meal on Sukkot before performing the mitzvah of Lulav. Consequently, Tosfos on Mem Vav asks how Reb Chanina was permitted to eat a portion of his Esrog before performing the mitzvah. So he wants to do the mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat before you wave lulav in the morning. So how was he nashing away? I guess he's making use of it. All right, so now, then secondly, asked Tosfos, the Gemara on Lamed Zion says an Esrog is huksal mitzvato, designated for the mitzvah, may not be eaten. How the Reb Chanina permitted to eat a portion of the Esrog? That's another question. then C, the Aruch Lanair asks that even though the fish and esrog is valid after the first day, it is certainly preferable to use a complete esrog on all 7 days of Yantav, Hidur Mitzvah. In other words, the fact that it's kosher doesn't mean that I should do that. In other words,
that was my question.
Yeah, so that's another question. So in answer to these three questions, the Aruch Lanair suggests that the circumstances were such that Chanina was unable to obtain all four species for the mitzvah. In other words, he doesn't think he's going to be able to do the mitzvah. So he doesn't have all four minim. He owned only an esrog and was unable to acquire the other species. As we learned above, the four species are interdependent. One cannot fill a mitzvah with only an esrog. Hence, since Rav Chanina did not anticipate receiving the other species, and he did not think he would be able to perform the mitzvah, the esrog was not considered hutzal mitzvato. Furthermore, he was permitted to eat it, even though he had not yet performed the mitzvah of lulav, because one who does not anticipate obtaining a lulav, is not obligated to fast. In the end, Rav Chanina unexpectedly managed to obtain the other three species after he from his esrog, and therefore used an incomplete esrog for the mitzvah. Now, they had a different hesber here.
There's a lesson there.
Wait. They had a different hesber in the art scroll. Wait a minute, let me get it out. One second. Yeah. So here they quoted in footnote 5, they quote from the Ran of the Ritva, said Rav Chanina did not eat the esrog he had designated for the mitzvah. He ate part of a spare esrog, and the next day he designated the partially eaten one for that day's mitzvah. So the Ran and the Ritva say, in other words, he was Yosef mitzvah today. And then he's got a spare esrog hanging around. So then he notches on the spare esrog, and the next day he decides to use the spare esrog. That's the way the Ran and the Ritva. So it wasn't Huxel mitzvah toh, and it wasn't, you know, eating before he did the mitzvah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we've said so far? All right.
Wait.
Say again, repeat.
What do you make a shachianu on the eating of the new fruit? I mean, you haven't had the fruit in so long. So since the prior year, you make a shachianu.
How do you know he hasn't eaten an esrog?
You're asking like a brachos question. When I eat an esrog, do I make a shachianu? So
exactly.
There's a difficult thing, I think Rav Schechter holds that if the fruits are readily available all year round, then you don't do it. But I must say, an esrog is not something that's readily available all year round.
Exactly,
But a lemon is. I'm a supak on this. I don't really answer your question, Pesach David, because I don't know if the esrog is different enough from a lemon that you'd have to make a new bracha shechianu when you. But one bracha that you do or should recite, which the poskim speak about, is Ashenatan Reich Toba Peirot, that the fragrance of the esrog, the special bracha to recite, and then, but you should only say that bracha before Yantiv. On Yantiv, we get into the question of Huxel Mitzvato. So you shouldn't sniff the esrog once Yantiv begins, because it might be that you're not allowed to derive benefit from the sniffing, just like you couldn't eat from it, you're not allowed to sniff it. But before, when you're shopping, you could take one and make Ashenatan Reich Toba Peirot, and make that bracha.
Okay. But in his case, he didn't have the rest of the meaning.
He
didn't have the other meaning, so it's not Huxel Mitzvah. In his
I'm talking about us.
He could have made the bracha. Okay.
In his case, if you say so the way the Aruch Lanair has it, if he could eat it, he could make the bracha Shintam Reich Toba Peirot on it also. What's up, Robert? Did you have a question? How do you eat it?
You bite into it.
People make marmalade from it and things like that. All right, so then you have the answer. You got all right. So Rabbi Chanina had a dip. He dipped it in the dip, and then he ate it. Okay. All right. Let's see that further in the Gemara. All right. So around 10 lines down on Lamed Vav Beis. Okay. So it says etrog katan v'chuli. So the Mishnah said if it's a small etrog, it said Rabbi Meir says the minimum size has to be an egos, and Rabbi Yehuda says a beta, an egg. That's what we said. So etrog katan v'chule, right. So I'm a Rav from Bar Papa. So here we have machloket between Reb Meir who says an egos, Reb Yehuda says a beitza. So Reb Meir has a smaller shear that has to be the size of an egos, and they usually like a walnut. And Reb Yehuda says the size of an egg. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav from Bar Papa, kamachloket kan, kamachloket babani mekurz lo. Just like they have a machloket here, to remain Rabbi Yehuda about the minimum shear for an esrog, one holds an egos and one holds a beya. So too they have a machloket about avanim mekurz lo. I think that many people will remember this. It's the sharp stones that a person uses to clean himself on Shabbos. So we'll explain in a minute. The Tanya, we learn the Braisa. The Shabbat, the Shavani Mekurz Alod, Utar Lachdis the Beta Kise. And on Shabbos, you're allowed to bring three sharpened stones to the Beta Kise. So it means, or just a minute. So it means one of two pshatim. Either it means that you're in a field, which is a carmelite, and you're not carrying it more than Dalet Amot, but it's Muksa. And so so muksa is prohibited on a Drabanan level. So, but they were makil for quota brio that they permitted to take these three sharp stones to clean yourself up when you're, you know, going to the bathroom. Or the other shot you could say is the beta kiseh is Rishud Yachid, and you're picking up the stones in the carmelite, and you bring it from the carmelite to the Rishud Yachid. That's prohibited on a Drabanan level, and you're allowed to do that potza'ah. And the muksa, so it's two in yinyanim. So you're violating Shabbos on two Durabanan levels, but you're allowed to do it. Become a shiran, but here's the key: what is the shear? Now, before we were learning about the minimum size for an etrog. Now we're talking about the maximum size for these avanim mekurz alod. Rabbi Meir Omer Egos. Rabbi Meir says the size of an ego is the size of a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebetza. Rabbi Yehuda says Kebetza is the maximum size. And there's a Rashi here. Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, Ke'egos, Ksavar Bahachi Chazia the Kinuach of a Gedol Lo Chazia. So he holds, Rameir holds, that's Ra'ui, like the size of an Egos, that's the appropriate size to clean yourself with, but larger than that, not appropriate. That's the way he holds. All right, let's go further in the Gemara. Uvigadol Kedeshu Chaz B'chuli. So then we had another Machloket about the largest size for an Esrog. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to be able to hold two esrogim in your hand. So if it's larger than that, it's too large. And then Rabbi Yossi says, even one esrog with two hands, so it could be like a watermelon, I can hold it that way. That's the way the Tana Rabbi Yossi says. So back in the Gemara, we got to say, so Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who's the watermelon shita, says, Ma said Rabbi Akiva. There was an incident with Rabbi Akiva, Shabbat the Beit Knesset, but etrogo al tifo. He was carrying his esrog on his shoulder. Now, Rabbi Akiva may have held that there's no upper limit, but he's clearly has a size that's larger than holding in your hand. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is bringing proof against Rabbi Yehuda. Amarlo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi said to him, Yisham Raya, that's your proof. He says, Af heim amulo, ein zahadar. The Chachamim said, it's not hadar. Now, ein zahadar is a different argument, but the key is, you don't have a proof that that was a good esrog. Now, let's look at Rashi, ein zahadar. The Afilgavdu Kim that the Talmud Rabbi Yehuda Lamishim Hadarhu, even though we stand now, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the Talmud Rabbi Yehuda again? So Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be the two I hold in one hand because we're afraid that when you're transferring the lulav and the esrog from hand to hand, you'll drop it. That's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be so large. So Rashi says the Afilgavdu Kim the Talmud Rabbi Yehuda Lamishim Hadarhu. It's not because of a hadar haki kamar like this is what he's saying to him. I feel the dak lo kaiyshit len pule. Even according to you, you're not afraid that the esrog is going to fall down. Umaitit Rayim with Rabbi Akiva, and you're trying to bring a proof from Rabbi Akiva that you know I could have a big esrog. Ain't a raya. Like even according to you, it's not a proof. Daf hey mamulo ain't zerhadar. They said it's in other words, they said to him that esrog is no good. So you don't have a proof within your shita. You don't have a proof. You know, as you claim that you're trying to bring a proof that you could bring a big esrog. And you prove for Rabbi Akiva, but in that case, they told him it's not a good esrog. So it was a different reason they told him it's not a good esrog, but you don't have a riot from him that your way. All right. Any questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? All right, let's go into the kill. Okay, now the next Mishnah. All right, Manitin. In Ogdin and Lulav Elovino, Dibra Rabbi Yehuda. So Eged, remember, we pointed to the town of Rabbi Yehuda, Lulav Sarek Eged. Lulav requires binding, so but you have to use Bimino. It has to be the Min Lulav, and you know, like the keshkala that we use is like it's like a weave from the palm fronds or the palm leaves. Keshkal, I should say. Okay. So he says, Rameir says it could even be a linen thread. You can even use linen thread, it doesn't have to be linen. So I'm a Rabbi Meir, So Meir says, look, I can prove I'm right. It was an incident with Anshe Yerushalayim, and they would bind their lulav and the laminim with gimoniot shel sahav, with gold bands. So you see that you don't have to have mino. So amulo, the mino, when you owe them a tominamata. They said, no, they used the min milamata. This is just decorative on top, but in Achinami, the eged was bimino. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, amaravu, afilu basiv, afilu the ikra the dikla. So Rava says you can even use the sieve. Now, the article translated as ivy that goes around the date palm tree. So in some way, the Gemara does not consider that to be another min, the ivy that goes around the tree. But if you look at Ikra de Dikla, is like the bark of the tree, the bark from the trunk of the tree. In other words, those are the things that you could use to bind the lulav with the other minim. But I'm a Rava, and I think this picture in the picture book with those things. So the picture book has got, where is Kutta Mashiach?
You're in 134 land.
Yeah. So page 135 on the top right, you have the sieve, and then upper left, you have the ikra de dikla, like the bar. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Va'amarava, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for the Tana Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the eged has to be mino? It has to be min lulav. So it says, "Ksavar lulav sarach eged." He holds that the Torah requires the lulav to have an eged. So, if I bring a different min, I'm going to have five minim. If I have to, if the eged is crucial for the mitzvah, and the eged is a different min, I'll have five minim instead of four minim. But I'm a Rava, and I'm in a law, the sieve, ikra, the dikla, I'm in a lulubahu. Rava says, how do I know that the sieve, which is the ivy, and the ikra, the dikla, the bark at the base of the tree, that's also min a lulav, the tanya? He says, we learn in the braisa. So the Braisa says, "Basukote shvu, you should dwell in sukkahs for 7 days. Sukkah shall call the bar deremeir. According to Meir, the sukkah could be, comprised of anything. It means the walls could be comprised of anything, and then the skak just be the kark and so forth. Rabbi Yehuda Meir in sukkah no heged elabiar ba'aminim shebelulav. Rabbi Yehuda says the whole sukkah has to be built with the four minim in lulav from the walls to the skak. Everything has to be the four minim in lulav." But I didn't know Tain, and now he has an argument to prove that he's correct. He says, "Uma lulav sheino heig b'leilu k'biyamim. Lulav is only a mitzvah by day, not by night. Eino noheg ela b'arbat minim. It's only by the four minim. Sukkah sheino heig b'leilu k'biyamim. We assume sukkah is more chamor. In other words, that you have to dwell in a sukkah by day and by night. Sukkah is more chamor than the four minim. Eino din shlo tehei ela b'arbat minim." So if the arba minim have to be the four minim, certainly the sukkah has to be the four minim. It seems sort of strange because they seem like different mitzvahs, but the Gemara seems to connect both of them. In other words, that's also an interesting idea.
It's been going through the whole Masechta, the connections, much more than the other.
Okay. All right. So let's see what the Gemara says. Now, Amru Lo, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Kul din shta dan tchila tola hachmi, resofa la kele inodin. Any kavachomer that you start off saying so much more, it should be true here as a chomer, as a stringency, but ends up being a leniency, is not a true kal vachomer. How so? He says, on the top line of Lam Zayin Manal, lo matza arba minim yehe yoshe v'batel. According to your scenario, sukkah is more chamor than lulav. Sukkah has to be made of the four minim. But if I don't find the four minim, then I don't sit in the sukkah, which is a kula. But Torah amra basukote shu shivak yamim, sukkah shall call davar. As far as we're concerned, the Torah says, so that doesn't say anything. So the sukkah, the walls can be made of anything. But same by Ezra Omer, and Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, there's a pasuk that says, Su'uahar, go to the mountain, Baviu alei zayit balei eight shemen, bring leaves from the olive tree. The olive tree is not one of the arba minim. Balei eight shemen, the leaves of the oil tree. So the oil tree, I don't know what the oil tree is. They said the pine tree, they said in the art scroll. Balei hadas, leaves of hadas the myrtle, balei tamarim, leaves of the date palm tree, balei tavot, and leaves from the willow. So the last three are clearly from the arba minim, but the first two are not. And then it says, la asot sukkot takatu. In other words, so Ezra tells them to go and get the material and make sukkot. Rabbi Huda Savar, hani le defanot, ale hadas balei tamarim, balei tavot, l'schach. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the non-arba minim are for the Dupano. So I made a mistake before then. I'm so sorry. 1 second. One second. Yeah, so he must have meant that the four minim are just for the schach. I am so sorry. That's what I should have explained earlier. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the four minim have to be for the schach, not the walls, right? They're not the walls. Okay, so here we have a pasuk that's saying, I'm going to use the leaves from the olive tree and leaves from the oil tree and these other leaves. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Hanim's father, says that's for the walls. Alei hadash v'lei tamar v'lei tavot, the schach. Utnan. And we learn in the Mishnah, Misachim b'Nesarim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds the stock has to be from the four minim. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, I can make stock with boards. He says, Alma, so what are the boards from? So the boards would be like from the base of the tree. He's figuring that it'll be, so he says, Alma, siv ikra d'dik lamina d'lubahu. So you see like the sieve, that the vine and the bark would be a type of lulav. In other words, He wants to say that the fact that the boards would be made out of like things from the base of the tree, you know, and it's good for the schach, Mila, that shows that it's a min of the lulav. And so if it's, in other words, just like he requires a min of lulav for schach, and I could use those items for the schach, he figures that the boards are like from those materials. So too, I could use those materials for my egget. That's what the Gemara wants to say. All right. I think that's it for tonight, unless there's any questions, comments, or thoughts. All right. Now on Shabbat, I think we're. All right. Let me get into the recording, and I'll talk. 1 second. Let me end recording.